Oh my goodness, Jim, you need, it's like you need a hand. Let's give Jim a hand for that effort, my goodness. I want to talk to you this morning from the book of Colossians. I'm going to open the series. While I do that, I just saw, I missed you last week. John and Leah, great to have you back from your honeymoon and being married. How long now? How many weeks? 1 month? 1 month. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. Awesome. Good to have you back in church. Fantastic. And everyone else, good to have you here this morning. I love my African brother here with his Australian gear. Come on, stand up for a sec. This is cool. What's your name? Vidal. Sorry, I'm embarrassed, yeah, don't I? But hey, that's worth $10 at least. All right, fantastic. You know, come with the book of Colossians. If you've got your Bibles, I love all the different cultures. Don't you? Great having all the variety in church. If you're visiting with us, great to have you this morning as well. Hope you've enjoyed the service so far. In Colossians, I just want to read a couple of the first verses because it's like an opening for this series. And we did Philemon last couple of weeks, and I thought, great to do Colossians as well. And it says in the New King James Version, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you. Say it with me, grace to you. Who's glad for the grace of God? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to the title of my message this morning, Dave, called The Jesus Life. That's kind of how we live nowadays, isn't it? Who'd like to live somewhere else? But we live in the cities, but also there's a lot of bright lights there. And I think that's, you know, if you're looking at that, like, isn't it great just that Jesus is actually alive, that what could be dark is actually alive, that what was once dead and buried in you, that Jesus, his life can make alive in you. That some of the things that you thought were never possible for you because of, well, I don't know if that's really me, but as you trust in him and as you keep your faith in him, the light starts to shine brighter, and before you know it, you're a more confident person. Anyone in that? You feel like you can actually talk to people, like you can start believing in yourself. That's the Jesus life. Who's glad for the Jesus life? And so, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this letter. We know from Philemon last week, the week before, that he was in prison when he wrote it. It's approximately 60 years after Jesus' birth. And Acts 28 verse 16 tells of how Paul was permitted to have his own private lodging. So he's in prison, but he's got some freedom in his own private lodging. He's guarded by a soldier. In fact, he's likely to be chained to this soldier. Let's read Acts 28 verse 31. He describes his purpose in this verse. For the next 2 years, Paul lived in his own rented house. He welcomed all who visited him, proclaiming the kingdom of God with all boldness. He's in prison, but what is he doing? He's proclaiming the kingdom of God with all boldness and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one tried to stop him. Paul wrote the book of Colossians, the book of Philemon, the book of Ephesians, Philippians during his imprisonment in Rome. And Jesus brought Paul to Rome to complete the mission strategy that Jesus gave to his disciples just before his ascension into heaven. And I want to look at that a little bit this morning. And it was great thinking about this last night as we get into it. Acts 1:8, if you've got your Bible, some of you will know this scripture really well. and just raising money, and some of us parents, you know, there raising money because, you know, I want my children to understand what it is to actually see what we have and what others haven't, but also at the same time receive back from people that even though they may not have what we have, that they are blessed out of their socks because they have Jesus in their life. And so when you go to a developing country, or you go, like we have a mission in Liberia, you go to the Philippines, you go to somewhere to do mission, I am always touched by the love that others have for Jesus Christ, even though they have very little. And so I want to talk about Colossians the next few weeks on this, because it's quite interesting what the Jesus life brings out in us, or should bring out in us. And I don't know about you, but I'd love to be able to, through the power of the living God inside of me, transform other people's lives. Isn't that what the Bible's about? And so in Acts 1:8, Jesus told his disciples they were to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Paul was brought to Rome to complete the mission of bringing Jesus' gospel to the ends of the earth. And with the coming of Paul to Rome, the gospel was brought from the Jewish capital of Jerusalem in the east, the Gentile capital of the world, in Rome in the west. And the Lord himself had told Paul, take courage. Turn to your neighbor and say, take courage. For as you have testified things about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Acts 23:11. And Paul, through his letters, is still transforming lives today, right? Who's glad for the letters of Paul? Who's glad that he's still transforming what he started in his spirit? Through what God put inside him, he just wanted to use people and develop people and expand the church however he could. The mission hasn't changed today. It's for every one of us. And it works best through the local church. It's great to be a part of the local church. So first, I want to say this morning, our mission is to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. The mission hasn't changed. If anything, it's more desperate now than when the Bible was written. Well, let me give you some statistics. Not to depress you, although they could be read that way, but to understand the urgency and why Paul wrote like he did even though he was imprisoned. In Australia today, who's glad to be in Australia? 61% of all people, this is from the McCrindle, it's valid research, McCrindle Forecasts, Strategy and Research, and also combined with the Christian Venues Association. In Australia today, 61% said they adhere to Christian beliefs. 7.3% make up all other religions combined. And I want to give you a bit of a trend line of the last four decades, from 1976 until now. In 1976, there were 13.9 million people. How many people were there? 13.9, good. Church attendance was 3.9 million. 13.9 million people in Australia, 76, 3.9 million in attendance. 2014, this year's stat, there are 23.3 million people in Australia. Church attendance is 3.5 million. It's dropped 400,000 people. We've almost doubled the population. 70% of all weddings are now conducted by a civil celebrant. Church age is rising. In 1984, the median age was 30. The median age today is 40 plus. Yet 88% of all Australians say church is beneficial. They might not go to church, but they understand that it's beneficial. I want you to just think on that for a moment and listen to the story. Gallipoli, who's watched the movie with Mel Gibson. It was a little while ago now, but in the opening scene in the movie, Mel Gibson, we see as a young Australian, and he's actually in training. He's out in the paddock in the bush, and he's got the old crusty coach at one end, in the long grass reeds, with a starter gun, and there he is, and he's like crouched, ready the starting position, ready to go, and he says, "My legs are like steel springs. I'm going to run like a leopard. My legs are like." Steel springs, I'm going to run like a leopard. The crusty coach, bang, the starting pistol goes off. He runs for his life. And then you see towards the end of the movie, you see those closing scenes. And the young man is in the trenches in Gallipoli. And hundreds of Australian troops have been charging out of their trenches and being mowed down and killed by the enemy. Wave after wave meet the same fate. It's madness to keep sending the boys out to a certain death, but the communication lines are down. Mel Gibson has the assignment of trying to reach the command post to have the order to keep going over the trenches rescinded, stopped. He has the word that will save all the lives of his mates. They don't have to perish. They don't have to go over the wall and die. So he's racing to get there. And in the movie, he's jumping over obstacles. He's running as fast as he can. He wants to save his mates. He's straining to reach the goal. And back in the trench, they don't know that the order to charge has been withdrawn. And so they prepare to go over the wall. The young athlete takes his medals that he's won. And he puts them on the end of his bayonet. And he says, "My legs are like steel springs. I will run like a leopard." And he gets mowed down. Right at that moment on that order, and they go out and he gets mowed down. Mel Gibson in the movie actually says, "No!" But he was just that little bit too late. The word didn't get there quite in time. He had the message of life, but it did not reach them. Church, we have the message of life. We've got time to reach them if you've got breath in you today. And this is Paul from his prison cell, but he hasn't given up. He can't go himself, but he's sending people. He's doing what he can. He's actually writing letters. He's transforming you and I today. That's the power of the gospel. Don't underestimate what Christ can use you for. Don't underestimate what you can do with your gifting. God's got a purpose and a plan to transform others by who you are. The Bible's clear, we're Christ's ambassadors. We no longer live to please ourselves, we live to please Christ. Who thinks those stats I read out are pretty desperate? I'm glad that we're a part of probably the kind of church that's bucking that trend, but even so, it'd be nice to have all the seats full even on a long weekend, wouldn't it? Come on. Come on. How will they know if we don't go? And God will call certain people within the church to forge ahead into new lands, whether close or far, in order to reach new people with the gospel. There are Pauls, there are Timothys, there are Tituses, there are Onesimuses, there are Tychiuses. There are all kinds of people, whatever your name is today. We are called. We have a spirit of courage in us given by Christ that we may share the gospel both locally and internationally. You know, Andrew and I were quite comfortable. I've got to admit it. No children. For 8 years. Double income, no kids. Not much of a mortgage. That all changed. Literally handed a check. Said, don't come back. One Friday, and we, Andrew and I, were booked to go to a missions trip in India. I was pretty stuck. Our comfort can make us stuck. We can stay entrenched in what we know because, well, sometimes God wants to shake us up. Sometimes God wants to actually bring us to a place where we need to look to Him more so that we can be beneficial for His cause. And so we booked to go to India on this missions trip, and so we thought we will go to that. And you know, while I was there in India, God spoke to me and said, Nigel, one day you're going to be a pastor. Go to Bible college. My life hasn't been the same since. You know what? What started out as Port Community Church in the tennis club with very little people, and you know, it was just nothing really. It didn't seem like much. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, oh, I don't know, I don't think I'm that much. It's not about what you think. It's about what Jesus inside of you can make you. And Port Community Church grew just with a handful of people, really. And we ended upstairs in this place that no one could find, and it was dangerous for the children because the street's right there on Hampton Road, just a bit further up. It was a nightmare. We had to wear walkie-talkies from the top to the stage because I remember Carmen Lawrence came one time, used to be the MP for Fremantle. And she's going, why are you wearing these walkie-talkies? Because we don't know who's coming. It was just terrible. The communication was bad. But you know, that started a group of 70 people to be able to obtain this great facility and extend the kingdom of God. And now all you lovely people are a part of the house of God. God's moving. What may seem little is not little to God. And on top of that, we have in 5 different countries. We have ministering in, I can't remember all their places probably, but Cambodia, through Janine Kabbala, sex slaves. From our church. I think, okay, all the stuff we're going to do in the Philippines, I'm looking forward to that. And what we're doing in Liberia, sending food over, we're going to send some more things because the food's so bad at the moment. Because it's just skyrocketed in price because of Ebola. But we can help practically as a church. There's other countries, Southeast Asia. There's something. And on top of that, we've got our local charity, Port Care, that has grown phenomenally to help the local needs of the community. Some of you have come through Port Care. God bless you this morning for being here. God doesn't do things the way we think, but I tell you, God moves. God moves. Will you open your heart up to what God wants to do in your life? Wouldn't you like to just have a bit of an adventure than just sitting comfortable? I could still be in that horrible place in Bell Tires where I used to work years ago, in the black, dirty dungeon of a place it was horrible. But God had to shake me up. Who's happy to get shaken up a little bit this morning? Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. By the will of God. In the times when we could easily give up on Jesus, when we despair in life, when we could easily see little future ahead. And I'm aware that there's people that are probably thinking, well, I don't know if my situation's ever going to change. But I tell you, you've got to be glad that you have Jesus in your life. If nothing else, you've got to be glad that Jesus is a part of your life. And He will keep you going. Call out to Him. The Bible says He will. He will come to you. And when we work with what we have, Jesus provides. He brings incredible value to our life. We need to make him Lord, not just an added on piece of equipment. You know, it's not like going to McDonald's and I'll have the value pack. You don't just, you know, you can't do Jesus that way. You've got to have him in your heart. He's got to be real. And Paul had him in his heart. Paul's life, it was real. It's inspiring us still today. And I'm very grateful. Your hope and your future are pinned on what you do with Jesus inside of you in crucial moments. Paul did not allow his confinement to stop him spreading good news. Our mission is to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. I'm glad we're a part of a church that can help do that. So I want to ask you this morning, will you check your spirit because lives are at stake? Keep your communication lines open with Jesus. If the communication lines aren't open, someone might be perishing. Someone might be going over the wall to their destiny, but you could change it. The mission of your life is advancing the gospel through the local church. Be a part of the local church. Be involved. If you're not away, be in church. If you're not on holidays, be here. Check your spirit. Lives are at stake. You know, I'm looking forward. We've set a vision for the next decade of two campuses from C3 Fremantle. We don't need to start a campus. Church is good right now. Agreed? It's comfy. But then I look at our good news stories. Then I look at our culture of life and healings, and I think other areas can be transformed by the Spirit of Christ. So will we allow ourselves to get bigger on the inside? And allow the gospel to truly transform our hearts. So the gospel goes to the ends of the earth. Second, know who you are. Know who you are. This letter is from Paul, chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Our greatest impact in this life is going to come through being ourselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, be yourself. Andrew mentioned this a few weeks ago. We don't need to be like anybody else. I used to struggle with this myself. I thought, well, I don't have anything to say, really. I get up here and I could be done in 5 minutes. But I've learned that God, took me a long time, that God wants to use who I am. The person who I am to transform others' lives. Be who you are. Will you be who God called you to be? It takes the pressure off. You know, on several occasions in Australia and overseas, I've been handed a business card, apostle, healing evangelist. And if I look at the scripture correctly, you know, and I've got wise these days, because I actually say, who are you connected with? And 9 times out of 10, the people that have given me these cards can't tell me. Because we're not just an apostle because we feel like we're an apostle, aren't we? We just don't feel like we're someone. You've got to have some grunt under the hood, don't you? So other people will know that you've got some grunt under the hood. You know, you might just be this little 200cc. Because you don't just become an apostle or a prophet or a healing evangelist. God anoints you, but others see what you have a gift on your life. It works together. And so that's the importance of the local church. I'm so grateful I have so many people around myself in that respect that I just love to hang out with, whether it be pastors in 3-3 or John as our coach, or it's my overseer, Tim Lowe, over in Sydney, and the list goes on. Let God do the promoting. Allow God to do the transforming in your life. Get involved, serve in the house of God, and see where God takes you. Sometimes I think we can get tied up with the spirit of this world and say, well, it's taking too long. Does God ever do anything that fast that's worthwhile? God doesn't do anything without first confirming it with church leaders. Look at this. Thomas, he's with the disciples. He says to Jesus, we don't know where you're... This is Thomas. You got it? Doubting Thomas. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? You know, people spend their whole lives trying to find themselves. Go here, try that, travel there. What does Jesus say to Thomas and the disciples? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through. That's the Jesus life. And Paul's letters are in the Bible because Paul wrote them with God's authority. And Paul is hammered by God. He was literally pummeled to the ground. It was like having a whole rugby team on top of him. And he's, whoa, you know, and he looks up and he says, who are you, Lord? And he accepted the relationship that he was going no longer to be master, no longer in control of everything in his life. Sure, he'd still be Paul, but he would allow God to lead him. And he was a pretty strong man. We know from his writings, he's one of the strongest out there, but he was still prepared to allow Christ to inhabit who he was. You know, we can be superficial, shallow, portraying the right image, the best in the world. God knows who you are. Just be you. Allow God to, if you don't know who you are today, if you're not 100%, you know, you're not 100% sure who you are, at least allow the Lord Jesus Christ to walk with you so that you become somewhat of purpose and of his love, and just you'll become more confident. I can assure you. God's bigger. I happen to be speaking to a 63-year-old personal trainer. In fact, I happen to speak to her occasionally because we've become reasonable friends. She used to walk past my house when I used to live in South Fremantle. She's got these massive big dogs, but that's beside the point. Avina, I thought you'd like that. And I have... She said to me, I was at the gymnasium, and she says, I've had a couple of weeks off, and I'm really enjoying it. She goes, you know, these two... They're fiercely competitive. And said, well, you know what? One day, just the other day, they were working out together. And I says, okay, time for the weigh-in. See how much you weigh, because, you know, you want to be fitter and it's obviously you're going to weigh yourself. And one of the guys wouldn't weigh himself. And he goes, I'm not going to weigh myself, because he's in fierce competition with this other guy. He goes, because I had a piece of cake last night. And she said to me, she said, when will people wake up and be real? Come on. Who'd rather have a piece of cake and enjoy it? Well, that's not really the point. The point is, let's not be superficial. Does it really matter if you have a piece of cake? You know, it was just out of control. I'm not weighing myself. Don't be a baby. Goodness me. Why can't people be real? And you know what? We've got to be careful, because we can fall into this same trap. You are who you are. You might not be the slimmest, fittest bloke or girl or lady. Does it really matter? No. What matters? Sorry, get a bit passionate. What really matters? What really matters? What really matters? Jesus in your life. What really matters? So does it really matter if you're 50 years old and you've got a bit of a stomach? It doesn't really matter, does it, at the end of the day? Does it really matter if you're a soccer player or you're not a good soccer player? Does it really matter if you play football or you don't? It doesn't matter. It matters that we have a heart for God. I nearly said, does it matter what we wear? And I think sometimes it does a little bit. Because it does kind of help. So if you're not good with that, you know, a little bit of fashion sense. Yeah. Christ wants to use you, not someone else. He takes who you are and adds his weight to who you are. The gospel is transforming when it invades our life for the truth that it is. Can we read our Bibles for the truth that it is and don't try and make out, oh, that's that person, that's that person. Let's just take it in for who God is in our life. Is that good? Epaphras, this is Colossians 4:12, Epaphras from your city, a servant of Jesus Christ, sends his greetings. See, Epaphras was a church leader of the church who lived in Colossae. Epaphras preached the good news about Jesus, and many Gentiles came to Christ and made up the church of Colossae. So you can believe the gospel and believe extra things. And Christ loses his centrality, there's going to be problems in our life. The gospel is transforming when it invades our spirit, our heart, our everything. And so the Colossians, as you know or may know, they struggled. They were good. They were great people. You'll find out next week. They were a great church. They had momentum, but they were believing extra stuff rather than just the real stuff, the gospel, the Bible. And I think in society, maybe we'll finish on this point, I had a whole lot of other stuff to say, but I think in society, the society that we live in, you know, we can believe that it's okay to do certain things, but it's not the Bible. We can believe it's okay to have a relationship perhaps with someone who's, you know, not following Christ. It's okay to have sex before marriage because that's what everyone does. It's okay to get drunk on the weekends. And I think we need to recognize that the Bible brings truth and freedom to our lives. He doesn't want to place laws and regulations on us to hurt us. He does it for a reason. He does it so that we become freer, actually. He does it so that we can become alive to the things of God and that we have purpose beyond our years. Whoever we are, young or old here this morning, God has meaning for our life. Jesus makes a huge difference, but we have to allow him to be Lord of all, not just some. So what will you do with Christ today? Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. What will you do? It's one gospel. It's one Lord Jesus is taught in the Bible. He came to die. He's the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they make up the gospel. Are you walking a life that is the walk of the gospel of good news for your life? Are you shining your light to a community that's in the dark? Your life matters. Your life in Christ has such an incredible importance to the way that we live our life. So if you say you're a Christian, are you saying that you really do walk with him and follow his precepts this morning? Is the Bible real to you today? Is it alive on the inside of your heart? Does it really have impact? Can we be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ today? Jesus is alive through you and I. That's how the gospel spreads. Let's pray. Let's lift our hands to God. Maybe you're here today and you need to make right with God. I'm going to leave the altar open in a moment. I'd love to pray with you. You know, if you're following him or you're sort of out of alignment, I would love to pray with you. If you could have the keyboard or someone just, oh, there's no one here. They've gone next door. It's all good. Don't worry about it. It's okay, Jared. Thanks, mate. Dear Lord Jesus, come on, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your life. I thank you my life has purpose and meaning. Lord, help me today to honor you and what you have done for me. I receive fresh of your good news. Father, today, I absorb myself in who you are. Give me that freedom, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you're here today and, you know, he's not all. Maybe you did think he was all, but he's not all. I want to leave the altar open this morning. We're going to close our service in a few seconds. You want to get closer to him. It's okay. It's not condemning. It's just, hey, let's have our best life. Not half of life. You can't sit on the fence forever. Can't live in two camps. And I want to be sure, as you pastor here today, that you're heading towards heaven and not hell. This is important. It's not about religion. It's about having a life of purpose and meaning. So if you know you need to just come and repent, you know today that you need to just make right with God, you need to change some of your lifestyle, you need to change some of your relationships, then I'm just going to leave this altar open. You can go in the cafe in a second. Let's mean business with God today. If that's you, why don't you just step forward and say, yeah, that's me. I want to do that. We're going to close our service. Please, if you could just be quiet, so if people want to do that, they can go. You can talk in the cafe. That'd be fantastic. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for being in church today. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you next Sunday. We're in Connect Group.